You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
A lot better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out how to switch back and forth. We stopped doing that because we were automatically filming both.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, you know what today's show is all about?
About friends.
Today's show is friendships and how they impact our lives and the lives of our friends. Friendship is survival. Loneliness has been declared a public health crisis in multiple countries. In the US, in the UK, and Japan, they're all dealing on the national level with loneliness as an epidemic.
First of all, I want to thank you, Jim, for opening your house, your beautiful house, and Lisette as well, to me and to receive me and for inviting me to this program.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Carmen. And by the way, this is Carmen Maskey, who is one of Lisette's best friends, which kind of prompted us to have a discussion about friendships. Strong social ties provide a 50% higher chance of survival when a devastating disease hits than not having strong social ties. So just having a big network, social network, friends, family, people that you know locally, can help increase your chances of survival compared to those without strong social ties by 50%. There is a Harvard study on adult development where warm relationships is the equivalent to longer life with less decline. Warm relationships being friends, you know, friends that you have a close connection with. Is friendship as important as diet and exercise? Go.
You first, Carmen.
I think it's as important. For me, it is very, very important. It has changed my life. So diet changed my life, exercise changed my life, but a friendship is my main thing. It's one of the most important thing for me. What about you?
Yeah, that is the question that we discussed early, and I say, like, I need to put in priority,
right?
You know? So I say the first is what do you eat? The second, exercise you do, and the third, yes, the friendship is really support for your life, so a healthy life.
So studies say that loneliness is on par with smoking and obesity as causes of mortality. So loneliness is equivalent to smoking and obesity in terms of the danger it has on somebody's health, especially as they age. So friendship is like a free life insurance policy.
Without filling out paper, and also not have to pay every month. Maybe.
That's true. Here's another one. Let's move into segment two, which is going to be health, wealth, longevity, happiness, well-being. That having a network is equivalent to a 20% boost in income. Meaning those who have a social network, those who have friends, those that are connected. And these are general statistics. These aren't for every individual because individual results vary. But generally speaking, there's a 20% increase in your wealth if you have a good social network of friends. Weak ties, we talk about friendships that are not necessarily our best friends, but potentially friends that we've been introduced by our friends, that these weak associations that are still friends of friends are attributed to the highest likelihood of being able to have some kind of job when you're in the job market.
One example is I have all the best friends in Dallas, and she support the family of Carmen when they come into to Venezuela, to Dallas, to looking for some kind of job. So it is the way how you see we support each other, and most for the referent to have a good position in one company, or maybe to be entrepreneur, because we see that one of the cases is the person do their own business and become successful. So I guess that is important to have this kind of the I can say like the network support. Sure. Between
well, I will say that it, like in our group of Samba, when we are in circle, all the energy is coming up from one to each other. When somebody grows, the group grows too. Mm. And I think when you are in a friendship and somebody grows, it helps you to grow. Not only because it present is introduced to you new connection and new network, but also because help seeing somebody growing, it helps you to say, hey, I can do it too.
So when you talk to people and they do satisfaction surveys, they do well-being, how they feel, happiness surveys, people who are most happy are happier if they have a good selection of friends that they're close with, more so than high income and or being smart. So IQ and money, sure, that's great, but when it comes to being happy, having friends is where it's at.
Wow, that's
yeah.
And also is makes sense. I say you cannot buy friendship. So something that is on a chief that you do by your effort, by your empathy, by your communication. Because also have a long relationship like that we have, it's involved like the good moment, bad moment. Involved like the she traveled from Dallas to Philadelphia to visit us. Sometimes I travel Dallas and visit her. So it's effort, but also it's satisfaction, because it's nothing about you. Oh, I buy one friend to stay close to me. No, you don't do that. Yeah.
No, totally, totally. Especially for women, so I would say that I have a very good friend who says that healthy women has good relationship, good friends.
Now, the benefits of having friends is lower depression, higher life satisfaction. Emotional support can buffer stress. When you have friends who can support you emotionally, it can help reduce your anxiety, it can help reduce depression, and it can help you feel more comfortable having to deal with things. And Carmen, if you remember before the show, we were talking about when you have to deal with something challenging with a friend and they help you through that part of your life, how does that connect you?
I wanted to have a kid.
Well,
I wanted to be a mom. And I remember those days that it was really hard to, I went through IBI, name it, IBI, IVF, all the I possible, and right. We couldn't make it, my husband and I. And then I went through the process of adoption, but then at the same time, I had I wanted to protect myself, and I didn't want to go fully with the process. And I submit all the paper, and I said, you know, I'm going to take some vacation, and I will go to Cancun, and I'm going to do this. And I called Lisette, and I said, hey, Lisette, you know, I'm in the process of the adoption, but at the same time, I want to go on vacation. And she moved me, because she said, hey, focus on what you really want. Put all your energy, all your attention on really having a baby. Mm. And I did it. And that was a life change, because when Lisette gave me that advice, I realized I really need to put all my energy here. 2 weeks after, I had a baby in my hands.
Oh.
And it was a really important, that support. That's one of the many, many, many things that my friend has done for me.
And we talk about this in our show a lot, is that when you're very emotional, sometimes your logical part of your brain starts to back away from making decisions, because emotions automatically shut down a lot of our logic. So now you have a friend who is maybe not feeling the same emotion as you because they're objective, and they can help you by connecting you back with your own logic. Because when you talk to your friend in a logical manner, yes, there's emotions involved, but when they talk you down from maybe a lot of stress, you now can think better, that you both think better together when you have a friend to discuss things with.
Yeah, and also I remind me other experience with a stressful moment. Mm. And also you was involved in there in the moment that I start to looking for relationship.
Ah.
And then when I found you, and then we are in different, in this moment in one state, and yeah, you move into different state, and I say, Carmen, this relationship is gone because my potential soulmate, he living to live to other states. And she say, why you not go with him? Why you? She put a lot of questions in my mind. I say, oh my God, yes, I was shut down like the always, or not something that she told me, that you always have some kind of excuse or some kind of relationship and different stuff for a boy and keep going single because always a little detail. Mm. Why you not working and go with him? And now we are here. It's her fault.
So I need to thank Carmen for this.
Yeah, definitely.
It's Carmen's fault, or Carmen's was the instigator.
One of my best friends in her room had a big poster that it says, friendship is complicity. But when you have a friend, you're part of their life. The good thing is, as you said, you are not living that, but you want the best for your friend. And being open and listen to your friend, and there is a lot of things that you win. Not only lose your stress, but also you learn about it. You learn about that person. Like today, I learned now that if I carry weight, I can help
oh
my hands, right? I am always fascinated by the things that I can learn from my friends.
Does the world become smaller with friends around the world?
Yeah, most for us, and in our case, you know, Venezuela, people is immigrate for spray for the planet, you
right.
know? So I have friends in Spain, I have friends in London, and United States, and Colombia, Chile. So it's something like the, I say thank you for the technology that keep everybody connecting, and also for family and friendship that you can have some kind of video call. We also have a group. We are five girlfriends, and so is in UK, Spain, Texas, and New Jersey. But we have a group in WhatsApp, and minimal per week we share some good news, hello, how are you, pictures. So this is keeping this connection working.
They say sometimes the person that's most different from you gives you the most ability to change. Your most profound change in behavior may come from a friend who's most different from you as you learn something. So as we learn how people are so open to just come on over, let's have dinner, let's talk, let's sit out in the open courtyard of the small town and chat for 3 hours after dinner, that you learn a behavior that changes you in a way that maybe you would never have changed if you didn't have that friend who was not like you.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean you become a bad good. Person or a good person. It just means you can expand your experiences.
Different views. Different view.
No, different views. Whenever I travel to Canada, to UK, to the UK, to Spain, or to any other part of the world, I learn new things. There is changes with the culture. That is introducing you to new ways to eat, health, how you deal with your kid, how you deal with your partner, you know, and how you deal with all the relationships. And I think that is so important because you gain all these cultural experiences out of seeing new words, new ways to do stuff. Simple things like how you fix your closet, how you dress with the same clothing, you know, in a different ways. Simple things like that, because we in a state has a lot, in Dallas especially, we have a lot of space, a lot of room for everything. But in other societies, you have a small closets or a small ways to live. And then you learn something, right?
You do, you do. So I want to go, you brought up partner, like your partner. So your husband, your wife, your friend, your close...
Your love interest.
Yeah. That there's a difference between having a partner as, quote, your best friend, and having a best friend as your best friend. That your partner can be your friend, but there's some kind of... your best friend can tell you something without having to suffer the consequences, right? So you may be able to be more honest with a best friend than you can be with your partner, because there's that relationship tension that may be there. So having a friendship with somebody who can be completely honest with you because they have no fear of what that may mean tonight or tomorrow or the next day, because they don't have to hear about it. They can be more completely honest with you, maybe, than with a partner.
Yeah. I'm going to pass it to you, Dad.
Yeah, no, I say the be really honest is like the other view that your friends say, hey, no, use this teacher because you lose a little tie in your chest, for example. Use that. That is something that sometimes we're not aware, and we appreciate that your friend told you some kind of honest view, and you have the flexibility to accept or agree the comment, you know?
Right, and it's something that I couldn't say to you.
Yeah, never. You always say you are beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yes, absolutely. Perfect. It's perfect. No, baby, you look stunning. That's how it works. So there are similarities, though, that friendships thrive on empathy, on vulnerability, on trust and understanding, just like relationships and partnerships do. Friendships have that same similarity in the way you relate to each other, but there's that separation. You don't have the same attachment that you have. You have a different attachment, and it's powerful, and they are meant to be different, and they are both meant to have differing benefits, right? Mm-hmm. Is that true? And I want to say lastly, how do you build, this is lastly for this segment, how do you build new friendships when you're 30, 40, and 50 years plus?
Okay, I will take that one, you said.
You are better in that.
No, we both are good on that. I would say that I think we have a conversation about this. Bad situation build strong relationships.
Yes.
Whenever you are in a bad situation, let's say immigration, that is a really tough one, and you have somebody, they are close to you, and you guys are helping each other to go through the immigration, I think that build strong bonds, strong relationships, a strong friendship, as well as it can separate people, because statistics says that people, when marriages arrive and landed in one, immigrate to a place, they find that, you know, there is more differences and they cannot manage being together and separate, right?
So I would go to that, is that when you are in a stressful situation with either a friend or a partner, that brings out their true behavior, and it either connects you closer, or you see something in them that you didn't notice before and you say, oh my, I don't want them as my friend, because it exposes something in their nature that you're like, whoa, I don't trust that. Or they are consistent in how they help you, they're consistent in how they make you feel, and then you can trust and rely upon them in the future.
Yeah, the second point where you build relationship is when you have common, you share something in common. Like when I dance, there is some people that we share values and we love dancing and we both like that. When I work out, and I noticed that somebody's as passionate as I am in working out. So we work out together, and then we start building a relationship. Values are very important for me.
Yes, and I think that's something you just said there that really fits the segment, which how to grow more friends as you are getting older. It's you're doing dance. And in this dance, in this exercise, you are meeting people who share values that you have. And now this is a reason that you become friends. It's you're doing something. And that's one of the recommendations if you are 30, 40, 50 plus, and you do want to increase your friendships. And we're going to bring up one other thing, quantity versus quality, that you want to be doing things to be out with other people so you can meet and then assess, do they have a fit in terms of values, in terms of where you are in life?
Yeah, that's you mentioned in different age, sometimes you can have a different group either. So it's good the point that Carmen said, my group for dancing, but maybe you have a group for your office, and you have a group for your customer, and you have a group for your neighborhood. So it's different group, it may be different age, and that is, make a reach for yourself to learn from different view and age of people.
So I have a challenge for our audience as well, which is 3 invitations in 7 days. 3 people that you've met in different ways saying, hey, let's go out for lunch. Let's have a coffee. Hey, I'd like to talk more about your family with you. Whatever it is that if you're looking to increase your friendships, like we've done, we found somebody that we got along with and said, hey, come on over with your wife for dinner. And we did that, and it was in this culture or this neighborhood, it felt awkward to them because, why are they inviting us for dinner? Like, because you get
set. They want to sell something to us.
Multi-level marketing.
Multi-level marketing, yeah.
How about this?
Yeah. But it also was interesting, this invitation, because the wife say, watch out, I go with you. And she honest say, I feel scared because why somebody invite to dinner? We met almost 2 or 3 times, the husband, and now we have this freedom. We want to have friends.
Yeah. And with that, we'll be back after this message with more on friendship on 90 Day Soulmate.
In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. We're talking about friendships, how to build them, how to keep them, and what kind of benefit they have to you. Let's go into deepening existing relationships, that there are certain things we can do to help deepen those relationships. Number one is respond really positively to good news. Don't just say, like, wow, that's great. You know, like actually interact with the person, that you can give small disclosures. If you or your friend is sharing something that's a disclosure, you need to pay attention and let them know that you're listening, right? So there's got to be a connection.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Beautiful. That when you have novel shared experiences, so if we would have experiences together with our friend that's new and different, like say you go on a trip together with friends, like we're planning on doing next year, right? That we have some friends that we've known for a while, not really closely, but we've known them and we're going to go on a trip with them. So at the end of this trip, we're either going to be like much better friends or decide, oh my gosh, right?
why
did we do that? What else we have that? Gratitude bursts, meaning thank your friends. Thank your friends for helping put together the trip, for inviting you on the trip. Thank your friends for coming over for dinner. Hey, I'd like to take you guys out for dinner. You know, so what is a way to let your friends know that you really are appreciative of them? And is it better to do a great gesture or a small gesture? Is it better to do something little or big? And what do you think?
I guess it no need to be big, need to be significant. Okay, so when also we have one good example that we met each other almost every 2 years, and it's typical that somebody brings something, okay? Mm-hmm. Bring some bracelet, it's something more significant, or maybe the teacher with our name. So if somebody put effort to create something for make a remember, when you put your teacher, I remember our travel in the past. So that's is some detail that keep relationship, yeah?
Yeah, I would say, and I always try to do that, be yourself. Be yourself, because nothing is more important than be sincere and honest and transparent about your feeling to the other person. And yes, gratitude is very important. Mm. I think I learned with years to be more grateful with my friends and express my gratitude and express the gratitude, express how they have changed my life. But I think it's very important being yourself, because at the end you cannot fake and keep a behavior faking something that you are not.
Sure.
And I think it's about acceptance and life change, and you are going through growth and different stages where you need to be yourself. Yes, I agree. Being grateful. Say it. I mean it. And I think what I like is writing a note.
Mm, okay.
Yeah? Writing a note and say, hey, how, you know, being with you was great, was amazing. Sometimes receiving a voice message saying, hey, what a wonderful time I have with you, and thank you for coming, or thank you for being with me.
Sure. And you talk about notes. Small, frequent gestures of friendship are more beneficial in building relationships than infrequent big gestures. Mm-hmm. You know, if you do something, once a year at Christmas, I'm going to send a big gift basket, rather than 6 times a year, I'm going to call and see how they're doing, how their kids are doing, how their family life is, how the new house is. That the consistency of frequent, mm-hmm. smaller interactions are much better for long-term building of a relationship than having infrequent big gestures,
yeah.
which I think is true in a relationship as well, right?
Mm-hmm. It's more authentic.
Authentic. So they say friendship is like Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean?
That you have to refresh it often.
The wife?
Well, both, you know, who knows? The wife.
Okay. Wi-Fi.
So how about next? We were talking about when friendships turn toxic,
mm-hmm.
right? So constant criticism, gossip, one-sided effort. That's when they become toxic. That's like almost in a personal relationship as well, right? So constant criticism, gossip, and one-sided effort. Chronic negativity can lead to poor health, meaning of the relationship, but can also lead to your poor health. If somebody is negative to you, mm-hmm. a lot, and it's taking away instead of being supportive, which gives you all the benefits of a friendship, a toxic relationship is the same as doing the opposite. It is creating health problems. So you can look at the state of your friendships, and the more beneficial those friendships are, the more happy they are, the more at peace you are with your friends, and the more supportive they are, the better your health. And if you're having problems and arguments with a lot of your friends, then maybe there's something wrong with them, maybe there's something wrong with you, because you need friends who support you, right? That
yeah.
you can support and not be in arguments with.
Yeah, that's I can say it's almost like the law of attraction. So sometimes we attract what we are. So in the moment that you are internally a little not harmonized, you attract friends in the same way. And sometimes the friend, this kind of toxicity is, you can grow up or you can decide, you know what, that is no work for me, and you have the opportunity to change your address and not share.
So you know what the problem is about ending a toxic relationship?
Okay,
what is? You can't complain about them anymore.
In my case, I run away whenever I have feelings or, you know, this person is aggressive or this person is too critical to me or this relationship is not working. I just don't insist. Don't go there.
You don't try to save the relationship.
No, not
just
at all.
Like it's
not
too
at all.
Much work.
No, too much work, too bad for you, and I put myself first.
Well, they said toxic friends are like spoiled milk. Stop sniffing and just toss it. How about, well, we can skip that one because I don't, this next one segment was on cross-political and cross-social bonds. So like when you have somebody that you're friends with that may be on opposite sides of the aisle politically from you, it means the end of the day, it's you can agree to disagree on some things as long as you like the same tacos. So it was like if you have some things that you fit well with, you focus on the things you fit well with because you may never change the other person in these other ways. Hmm. You have to decide, and you've talked about this, Lizette, in relationships, is you have to decide what's important and what you can live with. Mm-hmm. And then if you decide you can live with it, stop bringing it up. Mm. Right? Don't make it the focus of your conversations if both of you are never going to change. But if you like the person otherwise, you know, you like climbing mountains with them, but you don't like talking about the
religion.
Religion or the governor of New Jersey, mm-hmm. you don't do that.
Exactly. So it's how you can also be aware and also understand the difference. So it's value also that you have somebody with different view of you because you can learn. So if the people believe in opposite religion or a political opposite that you have, mm-hmm. listen, not be in any kind of the emotional who is right or who is wrong, and move forward. Because the point is, that I said, that is the beautiful of the planet. Everybody's different because if you figure out everybody's the same, you're so worried.
So we're going to go into the next segment, which you talk about the connection, whether you have it or not, and what you should focus on and what to ignore and what to make important. Let's go into, how about the number? You have people that you meet on the internet, you know, a friend of a friend. We're not talking about dating now. We're talking about you're on Facebook and you know somebody because they're a friend of a friend and you connect with them. And three times a year you say, hey, how's it going? And you connect back and forth. They say that the number of ties you have may actually make you more lonely if there's no deep connection. That if you have shallow connections with people, you actually can end up being more lonely because you know people, you know them, but you're not really deeply connected. That deeply connected with the support, with the ability to communicate, the ability to help each other, that is where the loneliness goes away because you feel like they're part of your team.
Yeah, that is when we're talking about quantity versus quality, mm-hmm. you know, because you can have your house with full of friends and a big party, and you can sit in the corner with your glass of drink and nobody talking with you, but you have a big party. There's a lot of people there, and you don't have no conversation, or maybe the conversation is so superficial, versus that you have a two or three friends, and that's something that I always say in the show, and I remember that you remember Friday, my home in Venezuela. So is nobody need to call or say, sometimes we have three friends the Friday, maybe it's two, maybe it's five, but it's short group, they show up and looks like so natural the way that everybody drain what happened in the week, what happened in the office and with the husband or wife. And that is quality versus quantity. Mm.
And also, you can have a party with one, with two, with three. You can have a party with any many people that you want. But the connection is important. It's important with a group. I think very early in life, a very good friend of us taught me that having the opportunity to open yourself and being mm-hmm. vulnerable and share and go deep in a relationship, in a friendship, is give you that opportunity to go there and then share and then grow. And sometimes you don't have the time to go with 20 or 30 people, but sometimes it's one or two people, and it's fine. It's fine.
So you brought up something about vulnerable, and we've brought this up before in relationships. But what's very interesting is the similarities between relationships and friends. We may have brought this up earlier, but I'm going to bring it out again because it's very important. You also brought up values. Like shared values. Shared values, you only know you have shared values if you understand your friend. If you've spoken with them enough that you understand where they come from. Maybe you've gone through experiences together and you see how they react. But once you see that you have shared values, it's part of understanding. Once you understand somebody, you may feel that you have empathy for them because now you understand where they're coming from, the situations that are going on in their life. When you have that feeling to them and they see that you have empathy, they can trust you. And when they trust you and you trust them, then it comes to what you just said, vulnerability. Can you be vulnerable with them? Can you share with them? Exactly the same patterns, the same puzzle pieces that need to fit together in a relationship with a romantic partner are the same puzzle pieces with a friend. Again, understanding, empathy, vulnerability, and trust. And these are really, we are repeating these from show to show as we've learned more and more from studies, psychological studies. If we looked at family therapy, that these are the things that are introduced in therapy, in couples therapy, to help couples get closer together. So the same things apply in friendships. So thank you for bringing that up, Carmen.
Thank you.
How about friends stress? Stress, not strength, but stress and health. I'm fumbling on words here. Friends, stress, and health. So negative exchanges with friends can lead to higher cortisol levels in your body, which of course deteriorate, add to stress, add to negative impacts of disease that your body doesn't react as well when you're under stress. Betrayal from a friend can lead to chronic stress, like I, because you keep thinking about it. And when we think about things that aren't good in our lives, we can have a constant stress, which can lead to anxiety, which can lead to depression. So having bad friendships are worse than having no friendships at all.
Yes.
Having good friendships are the best.
Totally.
So here, do fights with friends feel different than fights with family?
I think it's same level fighting with family. Well, at least for me, because I have friends for life. And if I think I get stressed if I fight with them. But one thing, talking about health, we went through last year, one of our best friends went through cancer. And I think when you go with that, it can be stressful for you because you really want them to go through and you take it personal. But at the same time, help you to look at your life and say, okay, I have to improve myself. I have to improve my life. I have to eat better. I have to exercise. I have to work in myself because seeing your best friend going through that impacts your life.
Yes.
I don't know. What is your opinion?
So for me, it was, I told you early, so when we passed this situation, you see yourself. So it's a, because we believe that we are like the, we say like the wish together, the group of the ladies.
Yes.
They have maybe grown the same Abby, they have almost the same kind of life. And you say, can be happen to me too. And then you start to reflection what I do for prevent this is not happen to me too, and then my life too. So it's more focused on watch out what are you eating. We're talking about the not use more chemical in your nail.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
reduce any kind of stuff for toxic your body. So that is something that the you have some member of your friend they have the problem. You also grew up with this situation.
And one thing that I want to mention is when you lose a friend, it's extremely, I think your levels of cortisol is going to have stop. We lost one friend that it was a friend for life, and it was one of the most difficult situation that I have lived. It's as difficult as losing a member of your family.
It's almost like the family.
So what's interesting are studies show that the impact of friends on us is sometimes even stronger than the impact of family. And here's a couple of the studies show that if you're rejected by a friend who's a chosen, because friends are chosen, right? We choose our friends. So rejection from them hurts a lot more. Where rejection from family, they're family, I'm going to get over it. What you said about a friend passing, and it's as strong as family, it can be even stronger. Because you may be acquainted with somebody in your family, and maybe it's not close family, maybe it's a cousin or what have you, and you know they're your cousin, and you just never got along with them. So when something happens to them, you may feel sad, but it may be a completely different impact than a friend who you've grown up with, who you've chosen to stay in contact with, who you want to be connected with because you do share values, you share moments, you share times. And that can break you much more, because that is something that it's something you need to protect. And when you have no control over it because you can't protect it, that's when we can be devastated the most.
Absolutely.
How about friends, success, and money? Well, we've talked about that already, that having friends can help us with success and money, not just because our friends will give us money, but when we're having situations, they can talk us through. They may help us logically think of what to do next. They may have a connection for us, a friend of a friend, who may be able to help us find a job. And we discussed the ones that you guys brought up before about knowing somebody who knows somebody, and they help somebody. And this is interesting. I think you said this, and both of you said this, is that sometimes a friend of a friend becomes the better friend than the friend.
Yeah.
We don't want to specifically call out friends on this, but we've had a friend that we grew up with, and that we met a friend of theirs, and then we're much more closely connected to them now at our time in life than maybe we would have been 30 years ago.
Well, I'm going to take that one. When I moved from Canada to the United States, I asked all my friends to tell me who was living in Dallas so I can have some network there. And a couple of friends sent me some people that are today are very close to us. And that was life-changing, for us, for me, because I no longer feel lonely. And these people, after 15 years, they are still there.
Mm-hmm. The friend of a friend.
So we're gonna take a momentary break, and when we come back, we'll finish up on 90 Day Soulmate.
Soon she went on a perfect date, and then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match, it is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Today we're talking about friendship with our friend Carmen and my sidekick Lizette. In any case, what we want to do is finish this show with a couple of things. First of all, friendship hacks, how to get better friends, how to get better friends, not better, additional friends, and maybe deepen your ties with your existing friends. Number one, we talked about the 3 invitations in 7 days. It's far easier to meet people when you invite for small little things. We talked about inviting for coffee, inviting to play pickleball, inviting to, something that's inconsequential but gives you time to talk with that person. So doing invites like that. Low stake invites. It's kind of like the first date, but the first friendship meeting. That if you are about to meet somebody and you go to Starbucks with them, that you can then decide if you're going to go out to dinner later and talk more because you get along with them. You don't have to commit to something that's what they call high stakes. Like, oh, let's go on a 6-day cruise on a ship together because we're going to be best friends. And then after day one, you're like, oh my gosh, why did I do this?
I can swim.
Maybe they can swim.
Yeah.
Number two, interestingly enough, our friends are like our chosen family. They're not the family we're born into. They're our chosen family. And as such, chosen family buffer stress more than our own family because we really rely and believe what they say more so than someone who's forced to love us. So our family, they're family. So when they say things to us, we may take them more with a grain of salt than when our friend says something. When a friend speaks up and says something and also may say something from the heart because they're not as much in fear of your reaction because there's not, we talked about that earlier, is that they can walk away for a few days where if it's your spouse, they're in the same house and they've got to be as quiet as a mouse so they don't act like a louse.
It's a new poem.
That's it. That's it. So DNA doesn't define who's going to show up at 3 a.m. to bring you ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know?
Say it again.
DNA doesn't determine who's going to do stuff for you when you really need it.
Okay. Yeah.
So DNA may feel guilty and obligated, but a friend may do it because they really just want to be your friend.
Yeah.
And they really just, they care about you, right? Yeah. So what else do we have here? Lastly, friendship as social medicine. So it's free, right? It's free medicine. Having a friend is like being able to take a health pill without the cost, without the prescription. Mm-hmm. Having good, deep friendships lower our likelihood of mortality when disease hits.
And also for therapy, many people say it's better to be in the group of friends talking versus go to the psychologist, you know?
Can be.
Yeah.
It depends because at least you have a knowledge of your friends. If you have good friends.
It depends on the level of your craziness.
Friendships do what? They equal longer life, increased happiness. That friendship acts as social vaccines, right? So your friendships may be a social vaccine against division and despair when you have things going on in your life. And finally, friendship is like life's multivitamin. It helps protect you from the dangers that life throws at you, not only psychologically, but if there's a problem and you need help, it can offer help when you have a problem, like your car breaks down, call a friend. I'm not feeling so good. They can take you to the hospital. I'm having a problem at home with my spouse. They can help talk you through that issue. They may have you think logically when you are emotional. They may help you get back to feeling that life isn't as stressful, that you don't have to have the anxiety and you don't need to have the cortisol pumping through your vein because you can feel relaxed with your friends because mm-hmm. they choose you. They choose to be with you. They choose to support you. So let's finish off with just a thought on 15 second thoughts on friendship from our two esteemed co-hosts today, or tri-hosts, what do you even call it, tri-hosts?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
No, my
friends let the other go ahead first. That's
yeah.
how
that is the first thing. Done. I guess the one of the important points is be transparent. So that is something that you can feel when you have a relationship with your friend. So you can feel it when it's not completely vulnerable or transparent in the speech. So do that, be yourself, and then that is a little moment that you can connect more strong with your friends. That is my recommendation.
My other recommendation is something that I learned from Lisette. It doesn't matter if you are in another country or if you are very busy, just call your friend, visit your friend, be in contact with your friend. Be understandable that everybody has a life and sometimes time is difficult, but always contact your friend and keep the relationship. Be yourself.
Keep the relationship. So we'll end it with 3 invites in 7 days. Give it a try. Second thing is when this show is done, contact your friends. Say hello to them. Just see how they're doing. Remember, consistent contact is more important than inconsistent big gestures. So with those 2 things, we say thank you. Thanks for being our friends today on 90 Day Soulmate with our friends. Or actually, should I say with my partner, Lizette, and our friend, Carmen.
Thank you.
See you.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.